Matthew chapter 4. Anybody in here struggle with temptation? Yeah, I think we all do, don't we? Every single person struggles with temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted. He was tempted of the devil. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at this. How to overcome temptation. How to overcome temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So how to overcome temptation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I do need you now. I need your Spirit. I need your power. I need your words. Lord, I pray, Lord, you fill me with your Spirit. Use me here today, Lord. Give me boldness to speak. And I just pray, Lord, to give me clarity of thought as well. And I pray you'll speak to the hearts of those here today and the hearts that are listening over the internet, Lord. Do what only you can do, Lord. And we'll give you all the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, after Jesus was baptized, the Bible tells us that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, Jesus was about to begin his earthly ministry. This was a ministry that would lead to him ultimately going to the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood and dying on that cross for the sin debt of the whole world. Jesus needed to be prepared. He needed time alone with the Father. He needed to prepare himself for what he was about to go through. And this was the only way to do it. Getting alone with the Father. So for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus fasted. And he prayed. And he asked. And he pleaded with God for strength to overcome all that is going to come upon him in the days and weeks and months and years to follow, and everything that he's going to need to be able to accomplish the Father's will, to not give up, to not to quit. And this preparation goes on for 40 days and 40 nights, and Jesus had no food. He fasted during this time. He was weak. He was at his weakest point. And then the Bible tells us that the tempter came. The temptations came. Now, temptation, by definition, is an act of tempting. It's an enticement to do evil or arguments by flattery or by the offer of some real or apparent good. He's tempting him. Okay? Jesus was tempted by the devil here in our text, and I'm telling you that we will be tempted by the devil as well. We will be tempted. In this life, temptations will come. They will come, and they will come. Every single one of us has already been tempted by the devil. We have already been tempted. Every single one of us will be tempted tomorrow, next week, in the future. It's going to happen. All throughout our lives, we will be tempted. The temptations will never end while we are in this body. Temptations are a fact of life. You see, we all have this flesh. We all have the old man. If you're born again, you're saved, you still have that old man, that old flesh that wants to give in to those temptations. Remember, at salvation, we received Christ. The Holy Spirit came in and indwelled us. And that Holy Spirit cannot sin. So we have a constant battle with the Holy Spirit in us who cannot sin, and that old man that remembers the sin, that wants to sin, that gets tempted when he looks around at the things in this world. And you know what? Then we have the devil. Then we have the devil who knows exactly what to do to tempt us. He knows exactly how to align people to say something, to put things in your path to tempt us. And this is not anything new. He's been doing it since the garden. Remember? Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. He's tempting Adam and he's tempted Eve. Yea, hath God said. Cast in just a little bit of doubt. Just a little bit of doubt on God's word. He is still out there seeking to destroy you. He is out there seeking to destroy us. He is out there seeking to destroy Gilead Baptist Church. He is out there trying to do whatever he can to render us useless. But let me tell you this, if you do not overcome temptation, temptation is going to overcome you. Let me just say that again, if you do not overcome temptation, temptation is going to overcome you. Whatever it is. We can list a whole bunch of things. Alcohol, tobacco, pride, lust, envy, greed, music, bitterness, anger, getting offended, not coming to church. Reading our Bible, not reading our Bible. Praying, not praying. How many of us can honestly say we were tempted this week not to read our Bible? How many of us can say this week we were tempted not to pray? I mean, the devil is on it. We have the flesh, the devil adds to it. There is all these things to distract us. But think of it like this. Every time you and I give in and we say yes to temptation, it makes it that much harder to say no. It makes it that much harder to overcome temptation every time we give in and we say yes. But let me tell you this, temptation can be overcome. You can overcome temptation. You can overcome it today. You choose. You see, God is faithful. God is good. He's already provided a way out. He's already provided a way for you to overcome temptation. So today, I'm just going to give you a few of those ways to overcome temptation. I'm going to give you a few ways here today that you and I can use in our lives, just like Jesus did here, and we can overcome temptation. Number one, when we get tempted, when the devil comes at us, or even when we're just tempted, we got to remember, we got to do what Jesus did. He responded with the Scriptures. He responded with Scriptures. As we read the Bible, as we read our text here today, we need to see Jesus here as our example. As our example. The Bible tells us that Jesus was full of the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit. We too need to live our lives full of the Spirit. Led of the Spirit. Not led of the flesh. No, we need to be led of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Spirit is leading here. Okay? And in Matthew chapter 3, at the very end of Matthew chapter 3, Jesus gets baptized. He had just been baptized. And this was a very momentous occasion in Jesus' earthly life here. It was a very important event. And if you look here at Matthew chapter 3, in verses 16 and 17, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Hey, Jesus had just been baptized. This was, like I said, a mountaintop experience. It was a very important time. It was a special time in Jesus' earthly ministry, in his earthly life. He was baptized. And the Bible tells us that immediately, you go into chapter 4, immediately the Bible tells us that Jesus was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Do you realize that we too are likely to be attacked right after something good happens? Right after we're on a spiritual high, the devil's going to attack. Hey, visitors come to church, the devil's going to attack. Hey, we see souls get saved, the devil is going to attack. People joining the church, behold, the devil is going to attack. He does not like these things. Anytime you lead someone to the Lord, be assured the devil is going to attack. But notice, when it comes to temptations, I want you to see that it's not God that's tempting. God does not tempt any man. If you could hold your place here, we'll be back, but just flip over to James. I know we've been in James a bit over on Wednesday night, talking about prayer. But in James chapter 1, I just want you to see this verse. In James chapter 1, verse 13, I want you to see this, that God is not tempting man. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man." So when the temptations come, it's not coming from God. God does not tempt us. God does not tempt us. Do you have that? It's not from God. God allows the temptations to come. He allows them in our lives, but He does not tempt you. He does not tempt me. God allowed these temptations upon Jesus to come. You see that? He allowed that, but why? You say, why would God allow these temptations to come into my life? Why does God allow us to be tempted? Well, remember, He allowed Jesus to be tempted. Jesus is our example. But there are some reasons why He will allow this to come in our life. Number one, He wants us to increase our faith. He wants us to increase our faith. Maybe we need more faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We know that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Maybe we need to increase our faith, increase our knowledge in the Word of God, being in the Word of God more. So He wants us to increase our faith, so He sends temptations on us. But He also wants to prepare you for more responsibility. He wants to prepare us for more responsibility, right? Just like with Jesus here, Jesus had to get alone and fast for 40 days because He had a whole lot more responsibility He wanted Jesus to do. Ultimately, He would go to the cross, but Jesus brings temptations in our lives because He wants us to do more. There is more for everybody to do. Every Christian, everywhere, there is more for everybody to do. Gilead Baptist Church, there is more for us to do. There is more for us to do in our general area around here and in the world. He wants us to do more. But He also wants to show His mercy. He wants to show His grace, and He wants to show that the power of God is in Him. The power of God rests in Him alone. Hey, when I am weak, He is strong. When I am weak, He is strong. And sometimes He needs to display those in our lives. And so He allows temptations to come in each one of our lives. And those temptations come. You see, when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, we're going to look at this here, He responded with the Scriptures. He didn't respond with any of His own words or any of His own. He responded with the Scriptures. And He did this as an example for us to learn from, to show us how to respond when these temptations come. Hey, listen, if we're going to overcome temptation, we must respond with the Scripture. Now, the Scripture shows here in Matthew chapter 4 that the devil tempted Jesus three times. Three times, and all three times, Jesus responds by quoting Old Testament Scripture from Deuteronomy. Look at that first temptation. The first temptation we see here was to prove His deity by using His power for personal gain. In verses 3 and 4, we see that. It says, "And when the tempter came to Him, and he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." It had been 40 days. Jesus was hungry. Can you imagine 40 days fasting? He was at His weakest point. 40 days. And the devil says, "Hey, Son of God, why don't you just go ahead and make these stones, turn these stones into bread and eat. Go ahead, just eat. You're hungry." But Jesus responds here. He's saying, you know, that bread, that's a physical need. That's a physical need that's here and gone. It'll be here and then you'll be hungry again later. Right? We all ate breakfast or lunch. We're all going to need to eat again. We're going to be hungry. But Jesus is talking about the Word. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, God's talking about the spiritual need. The spiritual need is His Word. That's what we all need, the spiritual need. That's what we're talking about here. And you see, there is power in the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God, and we must have every Word of God. If you do not have every Word of God, you do not have the power of God. And that's why I say all the time, if you use a Bible that changes words, it's a big deal. If you use a Bible that removes words, it's a big deal. Because if you do not have every Word of God, you cannot defeat temptations. If you do not have the very words of God, you will not overcome temptation. You have to have the Word of God, which is what Jesus had, was the Word of God, and He responded to the devil's temptation by quoting the Word of God. Listen, if you would, turn over, hold your place here, I'm going to show you, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Jesus used the Scripture to defeat temptation, and you can too. We must. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. He says, "And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know," right here it is, "that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." You got to have every word. The Word of God is the powerful thing. I could stand up here, you could stand up here all day long and speak your own words and nothing ever happened. We need the Word of God to be preached and taught and spoken. It's His Word. It's not my Word. It's only His Word. There is power. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. It can go where nothing else can go. It is quick and powerful. We must have the Word of God. And when we look at the Scriptures, Jesus used the Scripture to defeat temptation, and that's what we must do as well. Second temptation, if you would flip back over to Matthew chapter 4, the second temptation of Jesus was to prove His deity. In verses 6 and 7, in Matthew 4, 6, 7, it says, "And saith unto Him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." The devil tempted Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple and let God come to his rescue. Let God send angels and catch him in midair and gently put him back onto the ground. I mean, since he was God's only begotten Son, he would protect him, right? He wouldn't let anything happen to him, right? The devil was tempting him. The devil was tempting him. And Jesus responds with Scripture. We don't have to turn to it. Just write it down. Look at it later. Deuteronomy 6:16 is what he quotes. In Deuteronomy 6:16, it says, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God." Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. So Jesus responds to the devil there from verse 7, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God," by Deuteronomy 6:16. "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then we'll see here the third temptation of Jesus was to prove His deity by compromise. Compromise. He tempted Jesus to compromise in verse 9 and 10. It says, "And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Hey, the devil's tempting Jesus, saying, "Hey, I'll give you all this." But Jesus says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Hey, listen, Jesus overcame temptation by using Scripture. The devil tempted Him to compromise, to take the easy way out. Just bow down right now. You can have all of this. You don't have to worry about going to the cross. You don't have to worry about suffering and dying and shedding your blood for the souls of every person. There's no need to do all that. You can have all this right now. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. Come on, just do it. Just bow down. You can have all this right now. Look at it. Everything. You don't need to go to that church that preaches standards. Hey, you don't need to go to that church that talks about godly music. Hey, you don't need to go to that. You can come over here to this church. Listen, hey, we listen to all that rock music. You can dress however you want. Hey, you can use the compromised Bible. It doesn't matter. Just come on over here. Right? Compromise with the devil and the world is not God's way. That's not what the Scriptures teach us. God commands us to be holy. He commands us to live a holy life separated unto Him. And the only way Jesus defeated the devil here was by the use of Scripture. Was by the use of Scripture. And he in verse 10 there, he quoted from Deuteronomy 6:13. It says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him." Hey, listen. The world's going to come at you for compromising. The devil's going to come at you to compromise. It's going to make, it'd be a whole lot easier just to give in. It'd be a whole lot easier, just to go the easy way. But that's not the way God wants you to go. That's not the way the Bible teaches to go. Respond with Scripture. If you are going to defeat temptation, you have to respond with Scripture. When it comes, you have to respond with Scripture. Let me give you another one here. Number two, you got to remember the Bible teaches that we must watch and pray. We must watch and pray. If you would, flip over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. We got to remember, we got to watch. We got to pray. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." That's the devil. That's Satan. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour me. He wants to destroy us. He's going about seeking our destruction. He has a plan. He wants to put it into use. He wants to destroy us. He wants to devour us. He knows our names. He knows what will tempt us. He knows how to get to us. He knows it all. And he's doing his best to drag us down. And the Bible says we're to be on alert. We're to watch. Always watching. Testing everything with the Scriptures. Testing everything with the Scriptures. You got that? 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Testing everything with the Scriptures, not with the way the world looks at it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." The only way to know truth from error is to know the Scriptures. The only way to know truth from error is to know the Scriptures. That's the only way. That's the only way you can know what is of God and what is not. What is of the devil. And the Bible says we must be sober. We must be vigilant. We must be paying attention, looking around in every part of our lives. If you leave a part of your life open, susceptible, the devil is going to attack in that area. And here's the thing. The devil has so many tools today. He has so many devices, so many tools, so many ways to attack a person, to attack a Christian. It's just like the attacks are coming from everywhere. Right? We have these cell phones with the unlimited data that you could do anything on these days. Right? The screen time, the social media time. So the question is, how much of our social media time do we have? How many hours? And then how many hours do we have in Bible reading and prayer? Compare those. Right? How many hours? Or how many minutes? What is it? Right? But all these things keep us distracted on the real thing. On the real thing. On serving the Lord. On reading our Bible. Growing. Going to church. There are so many distractions that the devil wants to use to keep us from coming to church. Right? Visitors come in, they're in the battle. I know because I've been there. When we first started going to church, everything happens. The kids are sick, the car won't start, you got a flat tire. There's so many things that are going on, and the devil's doing all this to keep you out of church. I'm at the door talking with somebody, and I'm giving them the gospel and telling them about Jesus Christ, and it's like, wow, this person is going to get saved. You could just tell. And then all of a sudden, their phone's ringing. The car's pulling the driveway. The kids start crying. Everything happens. It unleashes, right? To distract us. To get us off on some other thing. Now here's the thing. We read that book, or we read that verse that says be sober, and we're all like, we're sober. We don't drink alcohol, we're sober. But here's the thing. We are technology drunkards. We are so full of technology, we are full of the world, that we are drunkards in that sense. We've inundated our minds with everything from the news and, like you said, the weather and everything else that's got us distracted. So in a sense, our minds are not sober. They're filled with all that junk. So when the temptations come, there is no way we can start pulling scriptures, because we have no scriptures, because we're full of the world. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. In Matthew 26, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he knows the time's about to come for him to go to the cross. He's with his disciples, and you know what his disciples were doing. They fell asleep. They fell asleep on him. And so Jesus comes here in verse 41 and he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Hey, if you're just going through this life doing whatever, the temptations are going to come and you will have no defense for them. You got to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's a true statement. The flesh is weak. Jesus was with the disciples. The time was about up for him to go to the cross, and the disciples, the flesh was weak. They were tired. They were tired and they slept. Hey, this flesh is weak. We're studying prayer on Wednesday nights. Prayer is important. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is powerful. We need to be doing that. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, praying without ceasing. That's what we're to be doing. As we watch and we pray, we're ready for those attacks. When those temptations come, we can fight them off with the Scriptures just like Jesus did. Let me give you another one. Number three, we need to refuse to give place to the devil. We need to not give in to the devil. You can overcome temptation by not giving in to the devil. Don't give in to the devil. We choose. We choose. In Romans 13, in verses 13 to 14, Romans 13:13-14 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and envy. And in verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't be tempted to fulfill the lust of the flesh if you're watching and if you're praying. Remember the prayer of a righteous man. You're living a righteous life. You're walking with the Lord. You have a relationship with the Lord. You're in communion with the Lord. You're talking, right? You're not in sin, right? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that word honestly there in verse 13, it means proper, honorable, and decent. So as a Christian, that's how we're to live. Proper, honorable, and decent lives because we're a Christian. But even though we're Christians, temptations are going to come. But we do not have to give place to the devil when they do come. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? James 4:7, remember this morning I talked about it. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. There's some things you got to do before he's going to flee. You got to submit to God. Hey, Lord, not my will but your will. Whatever your will is for my life, Lord, I submit to you. Submit, resist, and he will flee. The devil cannot make you sin. You understand that? The devil cannot make you sin. He cannot make you give in to that temptation. He cannot make you do anything. But he can tempt you. But in the end, you choose. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Every single temptation that you and I go through, every single temptation that comes in our life is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. Every single person who's ever been alive faces these temptations, faces the same temptations. Adam and Eve were tempted. We all face the same temptations since then, this flesh. But here's the thing, you can overcome temptation. God provides a way out. I think of Joseph with Potiphar's wife, right? Even before the temptation came, you know, Potiphar's wife wanted to seduce Joseph. Joseph just ran, right? He just got out of there. He got out of Dodge. He left. He didn't even stick around to see what was going on, but he always makes a way out of the temptation. God will provide. But you need to realize that sometimes that way of escape comes before the temptation. That way of escape comes before the temptation. So we got to control our mind. We got to control our thoughts. We got to remove those bad thoughts. Remove those wrong thoughts, because the devil wants to control our mind. This mind is a powerful thing. And if the devil has control of your mind, he's got you. If he can control your mind, he's got you controlled. In Romans chapter 7, if you would, just turn over there real quick. Romans chapter 7. Paul describes this quite often. But here in Romans chapter 7, in verse 23, in Romans chapter 7, Paul describes this struggle here. He says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." You see, the flesh is weak, the spirit is strong, the flesh is weak. Paul is describing that battle here. He's describing that struggle that is part of our life. That old man is still alive, and he's not removed at salvation. He's still there. And so our thoughts are still there, and our mind is controlled by what? The devil or by the spirit? And God, and he's saying here that our flesh is strong. That flesh wants to do those fleshly, lustly things. And if we give in to those things and we give our mind over to the devil, he controls our mind. But listen, in verse 25 he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer to all our trials. He's the answer to all of our temptations. That is the good news of the gospel. He's already conquered it. His death, burial, and resurrection conquered it all. He shed His blood. He died on that cross, shed His blood, was buried, rose again the third day. And if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's already conquered it all. He's already conquered. And so the verse tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, get that junk out of your mind. Think on these things. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Hey, listen, all I'm saying is this. If you want to defeat temptations, don't give in to the devil. Resist the devil. And I got the fourth one here, the last one. Repent and turn. Repent and turn from the temptation. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Listen, if you do not overcome temptation, temptation is going to overcome you. It's going to overcome you if you do not repent and turn from that temptation. Many Christians today are living lives that have been taken captive by the devil's will. They have been taken captive, whether it's drinking, lust, greed, smoking, all those things we mentioned earlier. The list goes on. Whatever it is, they've been taken captive over those things. The way of escape came. God provided the way of escape for them, but they did not overcome the temptation. They did not defeat the temptation, and now it's too late. The temptation has overcome them. You see, here's my point. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, when you got that Spirit convicting you of that sin, whatever it might be, that temptation, you need to deal with it right then and right there. If not, there is that danger that you will never again have the opportunity to overcome that temptation. And then the temptation overcomes you. There are so many Christians ensnared by the devil because they did not repent and turn from that sin. Whatever excuse, whatever the reason, the sin may have been too enjoyable for them to give up. Whatever it is, if there's something like that in your life, hey, you need to give it up now. Because if you don't, you may never quit until you die. Bible's verse says here, if God peradventure, in verse 25, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of their truth, perchance if God will. Not saying He will. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The devil has blinded so many minds. He's blinded so many Christians' minds and distorted their minds. What are we going to do about it? Jesus is our example. The temptations came. He responded with Scripture. He responded with Scripture. He didn't give place to the devil. You see, Satan is powerful, yes, but it's a limited power. Satan has limited power. He can only tempt. He can't make you sin. And here's another thing. He can only be in one place at one time. So while the devil's beating me down and beating me up, he's not beating you up. He can't be there at the same time. He could not push Jesus off of the pinnacle on that mountain. He cannot push you into sin. Satan can tempt you. His temptations can be strong. The Bible tells us how to defeat that. Jesus is our example. We have to mold our lives after our example. And through all of the temptation, we need to remember that Jesus did not sin. He did not give in to that sin. He did not let the devil defeat Him. In Hebrews 4:15-16, I'm going to wrap it up right here. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted just like you and I, but He was without sin. He was tempted. He had the same temptations that we deal with, that we struggle with, that we think we can't overcome, that we just give in and quit. But with Jesus as our example, He did not sin. He did not sin. In verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, we just need to turn to Him. When those temptations come, we just need to just turn to Him. Don't turn to the news channel or the internet or your friends or your family. Just turn to Him. When those temptations come, respond with the Scripture. That's the only way we're going to beat it. Respond with the Scripture. When temptation comes, we need to make sure we're watching and praying. When temptation comes, we need to refuse to give place to the devil, and we need to repent and turn from that temptation. His grace is sufficient for all of us. You can and you will overcome temptation. Let's pray.